Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to our House of Representatives call for Tuesday, March 27th, 2018. Tonight, we're going to start off normally with our prayer and roll call and join up with the Senate and possibly close out the final address of President Washington tonight with David Barton, David Hurtler, but we'll see how it goes and see if it we actually do finish it up tonight. And then after we're done with that, when we separate back into our separate houses, we'll discuss tonight time off during the summertime, the weeks of the 27th of May, which is Memorial Day, and then July 4th, which is the week of the 1st of July, and then for Labor Day, it's the week of September 2nd. So anyway, we'll discuss that at the end of our particular call this evening after we separate. And so before we get started tonight, does somebody want to close us in prayer this evening or open us in prayer? We're not done yet. We gotta have the call first. So somebody want to open us up in prayer?
This is Representative Mark Briner. I volunteer.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Father of all creation, we are so humbled by your works and your plan that we know soon will be revealed to all the world. We wait with giddy anticipation for your word to be known by all of the 144,000 of the tribes of Israel, because then at your appointed time the four winds will be released and this earth age will draw to a close. We look forward to being a part of defeating Satan, and we anxiously await when Jesus Christ will return to rule the world forever. Please watch over us, Father, and help us to make a difference in Congress as we strive to do your will, O God. Give us wisdom, understanding, courage, and valor in battle as we hold the standard of your government here on earth, Father. Let it not be said that our efforts were in vain. Deliver us from evil, Father, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Praying in the holy name of the Lord, our righteousness, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And now I'll go ahead and yield to Liz for our roll call tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will begin with Representative Mike Ackerman.
Representative Ackerman is present.
Thank you. Representative Andrew Phil. Representative Phil, are you muted?
Yes, I can hear you good. Oh, I was muted, I guess. I'm sorry. I'm present.
Okay, thank you. Representative Mark Binder.
Representative Mark Binder's present. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Charlie Alfaro. Representative Joseph Goodman. Representative Doug Reed.
Representative Doug Reed is present.
Thank you. Representative Robin Cox.
Representative Robin Cox is present.
Thank you. Representative John Rockwell.
Present.
Thank you. And Representative David Schmidt.
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin is present.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I show that seven representatives representing seven states are present. Thank you, and I yield.
All right. Thank you, Liz, for our roll call tonight. The Senate is ready to join us tonight, so I'll go ahead and bring them in this evening. How is the Senate tonight?
The Senate is doing well, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for having us over, and thank you, David, in advance for your training. We look forward to another enlightening evening. Have a great evening. Welcome, everyone. I yield.
Well, thank you, Don. Before we get started, in the email that I sent you with a new document that we're going to do as far as a new study, we're actually continuing study on David Barton for possibly next week if we finish up the final address from President Washington. I wanted to let you know that after we separate tonight into our separate houses, we're going to talk about time off for the summer. There are 3 weeks that we're going to take off. if it's agreeable between the House and Senate. The week of May 27th, which is Memorial Day, the week of July 1st, which is the 4th of July week, and the week of September 2nd, which is the week of Labor Day. So I just wanted to make you aware of that so you in the Senate can discuss that, and we'll come together and make sure that those dates are okay, and then we'll finalize that between myself and Senator Adams, and then we'll get that taken care of, hopefully, after we separate back into our separate houses, just so you know about that and can make a note of it. So with that, I'll go ahead and yield to David Hertler to get our teaching started tonight.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Greetings to Senator Adams from the great state of Wisconsin and all you fine senators tonight, and, of course, all you fine representatives. I thank you so much for showing up each and every Tuesday night. Great patriots. And to all you out there in the gallery, whether you're listening live or by recording, we are about to try to get a conclusion here on one of the greatest speeches ever given by a president, namely here on this particular speech, President George Washington, his farewell address. So let's jump right into it. We're going to go to the outline. So if you have your outlines in front of you, we're going to look for conclusion. So we find conclusion, and we're going to go to A, and it says, Washington hopes his council will, number one, help moderate the fury of party spirit. Number two, warn against the mischiefs of foreign intrigue. Number three, guard against the imposters of, no, the, yeah, I guess that's right, imposters of pretended patriotism. So let's go into the body here, starting with, in offering to you, my countrymen, these counsels of an old and affectionate friend, I dare not hope they will make the strong and lasting impression I could wish, that they will control the usual current of the passions or prevent our nation from running the course which has hitherto marked the destiny of nations. But if I may even flatter myself that they may be productive of some partial benefit, some occasional good, that they may now and then recur to moderate the fury of party spirit, to warn against the mischiefs of foreign intrigue. That would be, I believe, affairs. Let's look up intrigue. Anybody, if anybody has it, go ahead.
Secret schemes or affairs.
Okay, thank you. To guard against impostures, or that would be deceptions of pretended patriotism. This hope will be a full recompense or a repayment for the solicitude or the concern for your welfare by which they have been dictated. Let me read that paragraph again now. Remember now, I'll just go back to the outline. Washington hopes his council will help moderate the fury of party spirit, warn against the mischiefs of foreign intrigue, and number three, guard against the impostors of pretended patriotism. So let's go read this again. In offering to you, my countrymen, these counsels of an old and affectionate friend, I dare not hope they will make the strong and lasting impression I could wish, that they will control the usual current of the passions or prevent our nation from running the course which has hitherto marked the destiny of nations. But if I may even flatter myself that they may be productive of some partial benefit, some occasional good, that they may now and then recur to moderate the fury of party spirit, to warn against the mischiefs of foreign intrigue or affairs, to guard against the impostures of pretended patriotism, that would be deceptions of pretended patriotism. Interesting. This hope will be a full recompense or repayment for the solicitude or the concern for your welfare by which they have been dictated. What say you, Congress? Floor's open.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
From the great state of Wisconsin, Representative Schmidt, you have the floor.
Well, I think he's kind of doing a little bit of a summary here, like reminding people, you know, about the dangers of political parties, and reminding everyone, you know, about staying out of other nations' internal political affairs. And of course, another thing there is kind of, you know, the impostures of pretended patriotism. You know, that basically sounds like, you know, like today we have all the disinformation going out, you know, over the internet and stuff like that. You know, he kind of foretold that a little bit. And with that, I yield the floor.
Thank you, Representative Schmidt. Floor is open. It's pretty self-explanatory when he mentions the theory of party spirit, when he mentions to warn against the mischiefs of foreign intrigue, which you covered very nicely, Representative Schmidt, to guard against impostures of pretended patriotism. Well, today, in the corporation, I question how much patriotism, how many of, let's just pick on the legislature, how many of those people are patriots? Do they even know what a patriot is? Are they there to serve? You know, what is a patriot to those people? So impostures of pretended patriotism. Interesting, here we go back to 1770. What date was this, 79? What date did he give this? Anyway, we go back to the 18th century. We go back to the very first president, and he brings up impostures of pretended patriotism. This hope will be a full recompense or repayment for the solicitude or concern for your welfare by which they have been dictated. So warnings again. It's warnings, and be careful. Look for it. Watch for it. And looks like he's going to wind this thing down. Anything else that anybody want to share, anyone to add to what we've already said? Okay, let's go to the outline and go to B in under conclusion. He believes himself to be guided by the principles which have been delineated. Am I saying that right?
Delineated. Outline.
Okay, delineated. Okay, let's go into the body now. How far in the discharge of my official duties have I been guided by the principles which have been delineated? Delineated means outline. The public records and other evidences of my conduct must witness to you and to the world, to myself, the assurance of my conscience is that I have at least believed myself to be guided by them. Let's go to the next paragraph. If I go to C, well, let's go to, that must include B. Okay, so in relation to the still subsisting war in Europe, my proclamation of the 22nd of April, 1793, is the index of my plan, sanctioned by your approving voice and by that of your representatives in both houses of Congress. The spirit that measures has continually governed me, in uninfluenced by any attempts to detour or deter or divert me from it. Okay, I'm going to start over again. How far in the discharge of my official duties have I been guided by the principles which have been delineated or outlined? The public records and other evidences of my conduct must witness to you and to the world. To myself, the assurance of my own conscience is that I have at least believed myself to be guided by them. Then the second paragraph there, in relation to the still subsisting war in Europe, my proclamation of the 22nd of April, 1793, is the index of my plan, sanctioned by your approving voice and by that of your representatives in both houses of Congress. The spirit of that measure has continually governed me, uninfluenced by any attempts to deter or divert me from it. Okay, floor is open. Comments on those two paragraphs.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin. Question the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor, sir.
Well, first paragraph about the principles being delineated, he would be referring to the Constitution, you know, the guidelines within the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And second one that there is, main thing is, would be to stay out of the war in Europe. And with that, a yield.
Does anybody, can anybody here talk about the 22nd of April, 1793? Is that a date that we should be looking up? Maybe somebody could look that date up while we're still on the subject here. Floor's open. Second paragraph, in relation to the still subsisting war in Europe, my proclamation of the 22nd of April, 1793, is the index of my plan, sanctioned by your approving voice and by that of your representatives in both houses of Congress. The spirit of that measure has continually governed me, uninfluenced by any attempts to deter or divert me from it. Doesn't sound like an executive government there, does it? Floor's open.
This is Representative Ackerman.
You have the floor. You may have the floor.
What I have on the screen before me, it says the proclamation of neutrality was a formal announcement issued by U.S. President George Washington on April 22nd, 1793, that declared the nation neutral in the conflict between France and Great Britain.
Ah, very good. That explains it. Thank you so much, Representative Ackerman. Anyone else want to comment? Okay. We're going to go into C. We'll go to the outline now with C. There's 2 points under C. C says a neutral position is the best course to take regarding the subsisting war in Europe, which you just explained, Representative Ackerman. That neutrality is the right course, has been admitted by all. Number two, our motive has been to endeavor to gain time for our country to settle and mature until America has command of its own fortunes. So let's go into the body here. Okay, after deliberate or intentional examination, with the aid of the best lights I could obtain, I was well satisfied that our country, under all the circumstances of the case, had a right to take and was bound in duty and interest to take a neutral position. Having taken it, I determined, as far as I should depend upon me, to maintain it with moderation, perseverance, and firmness. The considerations which respect the right to hold this conduct, it is not necessary on this occasion to detail. I will only observe that, according to my understanding of the matter, that right, so far from being denied by any of the belligerent or hostile powers, has been virtually admitted by all. The duty of holding a neutral conduct may be inferred or understood without anything more from the obligation which justice and humanity impose on every nation, in cases in which it is free to act, to maintain unchanged the relations of peace and amity towards other nations. So, I'll read it again, and then I'm going to ask for a comment. Let's go back to the outline again. A neutral position is the best course to take regarding the subsisting war in Europe. Number one, the neutrality is the right course and has been admitted by all. Number two, our motive has been to endeavor to gain time for our country to settle and mature until America has command of its own fortunes. Okay. After deliberate or intentional examination with the aid of the best lights I could obtain, I was well satisfied that our country, under all the circumstances of the case, had a right to take and was bound in duty and interest to take a neutral position. Having taken it, I determined as far as should depend upon me to maintain it with moderation, perseverance, and firmness. The considerations which respect the right to hold this conduct, it is not necessary in this occasion to detail. I will only observe that, according to my understanding of the matter, that right, so far from being denied by any of the belligerent or hostile powers, has been virtually admitted by all. The duty of holding a neutral conduct may be understood without anything more from the obligation which justice and humanity impose on every nation. In cases in which it is free to act, to maintain, violate, or unchange the relations of peace and amity towards other nations. I think he used great wisdom here to stay out of their affairs and, you know, to put the fences up, the walls up around our country and take care of our own business, stay out of their affairs. That's what he chose. Any comments on those three paragraphs?
Yes, this is John. Go ahead, Representative Binder.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to say that I agree that it was definitely a good thing to be neutral at that point in time, because the last thing that the United States needed was to get into another war and to owe another country or the bankers even more money. As hard as you get a country started when you have to keep spending money on things you don't need to do. And without a yield, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Binder. Mr. Speaker, you have the floor.
Yeah, an interesting thought. Don't have an answer. It's kind of just a statement and a question out for anybody that is more learned and scholarly than what I am. But hearing President Washington say that, wanting to stay out of the affairs of the European war, and then we get into this country, and I think the next one is the War of 1812, and then we get into the Civil War, and all those two wars there are against this country. But then when you go into the next one after the present system took over, I guess you'd say leadership, if you want to phrase it that way. The other times that we've gotten into conflicts have been in other countries, in other countries' affairs, etc. And I just want to make a distinction there. What President Washington said is staying out of their affairs, but then the present system, which was around 1860, 61, in that area, the other conflicts have been with other nations outside of this continent and beyond. It's been like America has been the policeman of the world. Just a statement, something to think about. I yield.
I want to comment on that. I'm going to try to keep it condensed. You know, when I got in the Republic, it was shared with me there was, on this side of the world at least, I mean, I heard there was three branches or three circles of power. It was Vatican, it was the inner city of London, and then it was Washington, D.C. And Washington, D.C. was used by the other two circles for the military power. And so when those other two circles, probably Vatican, wanted to gain in resources and take over a certain part of the world, there was a meeting of the minds. And so, of course, being corporations and making the Navy and the Army and all branches of military corporations, they put them, they gave them the orders, and their, you know, of course, the central banks, they made money over this, you know, on both sides. They do every time. So it was about gain. They could say it was for the cause of democracy, but that I know better than that, and I think you do too. So I won't elaborate any longer. The floor is open. By the way, that's a good catch. That I never saw that. That's a great catch. That here you have Washington was doing it right. He was staying out of the affairs of other people. Why all of a sudden, when it turns into a corporation, what the speaker is saying, why all of a sudden? Why has this happened? Why did this happen once the corporation took over? You know, it's a good catch. Floor is open. Come on, you guys. You know, you guys got something to contribute here.
Well, this is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yep, go ahead. You have the floor.
I think you guys have already pretty much covered everything. You know, covered all the points in here, and you get the sneaky Rothschilds in there trying to, you know, pull stuff behind the scenes, and that makes quite a bit of difference too. And then, of course, you know, like the War of 1812, one of the main things, primary operations of that was to try to destroy as many legal documents in America as possible. Like, for example, trying to destroy the documentation for the original 13th Amendment, which was coming through, was at that point one state away from ratification at that point. And, look at this way. Capitol Archives got a fire at that point, I think, and even subsequently after the War of 1812, there was like about two or three other fires in the National Capitol Archives, and there were even fires at even state capitol archives over the years as well. I mean, even Madison, Wisconsin had one in the early 1900s even. And I think Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota, the first state capitol building was completely burned to the ground. And a few other state capitol archives were also, you know, I mean, somebody was trying to destroy documents, you know, through a long period of time. And so people couldn't find them. And with that, I yield the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. Anyone else? Okay. We're going to finish out here, C, I guess, starting with, let me read that number two again. Under C, it says, our motive has been to endeavor to gain time for our country to settle and mature until America has command of its own fortune. So let me go to the body here. It says, the inducements or the influence of interest for observing that conduct will best be referred to our own reflections and experience. With me, a predominant or having importance, influence, or authority, motive has been to endeavor to gain time to our country to settle and mature its yet recent institutions and to progress without interruption. To that degree of strength and consistency which is necessary to give it, humanly speaking, the command of its own fortunes. I'm going back to the outline again. Number two, it says, our motive has been to endeavor to gain time for our country to settle and mature until America has command of its fortunes. Going back to the body, the influence of interest for observing that conduct will best be referred to our own reflections and experience. With me, a predominant or having importance, influence, or authority, a predominant motive has been to endeavor to gain time to our country to settle and mature its yet recent institutions and to progress without interruption to that degree of strength and consistency which is necessary to give it, humanly speaking, the command of its own fortunes. I think we answered that. I think he's using wisdom here, that we continue. You know, the war was over in 1783. You know, a lot of stuff was going on overseas, you know, the Jay Treaty, and, you know, there was just settling in and, you know, cleaning up the mess, licking the wounds, and then building on our new government. And so I see great wisdom. Anyone want to add to that?
This is Representative David Schmidt. One request the floor, please.
Okay, Schmidt first. You have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, this is we needed to get ourselves built up, you know, get the economy built up, financial system built up, you know, get some industry going. And the thing that should be noted is that we had three major European powers on our back doorstep. You had Britain, you know, Great Britain in the Caribbean and Canada. You had France, you know, Louisiana Territory. You had Spain to the south as well. So that's why it was absolutely imperative to maintain, you know, build, you know, get everything built up and get our defenses built up in case somebody, you know, in case another European power decides to attack us again. And with that, I yield.
Thank you. Another one was trying to have the floor. You have it now.
Oh, this is Mark Finder. Basically, I was going to say that the conflict between England and France gave the United States a little breathing room and took the attention off the United States for a while from England, which may have acted even quicker to send their agents in and try to convert America. And with that, Eel, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Representative Binder. Anyone else?
This is Representative Robin Cox. May I come to the floor?
Yeah.
Well,
I just had a comment. Go ahead.
Well, he elected to maintain neutrality, which was a good thing because they had just got over the Revolutionary War and the country needed time to settle down and build its defenses up, stabilize financially, become more mature, and get basically built up again after the war and recover to a more stable foundation. So I yield.
Excellent comment. Excellent. Thank you, Representative Cox. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Okay. We're going down to D. Let's go to Washington Ask the Almighty. We're going on the outline now. Washington Ask the Almighty to correct any unintentional errors or defects from his administration. Okay, so I'm going to the body now. It says, though in reviewing the incidents of my administration, I am unconscious of intentional error. I am nevertheless too sensible of my defects not to think it probable that I may have committed many errors. Whatever they may be, I fervently beseech. Now, that could be earnestly request the Almighty to avert or prevent or mitigate, make less severe or intense, weaken means mitigate, the evils to which they may tend. I shall also carry with me the hope that my country will never cease to view them with indulgence, and that after 45 years of my life dedicated to its service with an upright zeal, the faults of incompetent abilities will be consigned or delivered to oblivion, meaning non-existence or being completely forgotten, as myself must soon be to the mansions of rest. When I read this, I feel a spirit of humility. Once again, I'm going to go to the outline. Washington asked the Almighty to correct an unintentional errors or defects from his administration. Reading from the body again, get ready to comment. Though in revealing the incidents of my administration, I am unconscious of intentional error, I am nevertheless too sensible of my defects not to think it probable that I may have commanded or committed many errors. But whatever they may be, I earnestly request the Almighty to prevent or mitigate or make less or weaken the evils to which they may tend. I shall also carry with me the hope that my country will never cease to view them with indulgence, and that after 45 years of my life dedicated to its service with an upright zeal, the faults of incompetent abilities will be delivered to oblivion or non-existence, as myself must soon be to the mansions of rest. I yield. The floor is open. Comments.
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
From the great state of Wisconsin, you have the floor.
Well, one of the things that President Washington acknowledges the fact that he is a human being, and of course human beings are prone to errors, and another thing, he also acknowledges the fact that the Almighty God is commander-in-chief of this country, and that God will forgive his errors if he, you know, if he requests forgiveness for those errors, and that the errors be, you know. And with that, you know.
I think it's a graceful way of saying goodbye by a humble servant. A servant indeed. 45 years, he's ready to go to his mansions of rest. Any other comments on that? Floor is open.
This is Representative Robin Cox. May I have the floor?
You sure may. Go ahead, Representative Cox.
Well, President Washington was saying that he could have made some errors, but he wasn't aware of them, but that he certainly acknowledged that he could have made some, and if so, that he appealed to the Lord to lessen or minimize the effects of those errors. And he said, you know, he was willing to entertain the idea that he could have made some mistakes, but he asked the Almighty to minimize the effects of those mistakes, and he asked for forgiveness, and he also indicated that he's going to go home to glory very shortly. I yield.
Excellent. Excellent, Robin Cox. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Anyone in the Senate? Okay, we're going to go to ENF here. Going to the outline, ENF. So E says he looks forward to retiring and enjoying good laws under a free government, and then F in closing words. So we're going to the body now. Relying on its kindness in this as in other things, and actuated or activated or aroused by the fervent love towards it, which is so natural to a man who views in it the native soil of himself and in his direct ancestor or ancestors for several generations. I anticipate with pleasing expectation that retreat in which I promise myself to realize without alloy the sweet enjoyment of partaking in the midst of my fellow citizens, the benign influence. I didn't look up benign. If you have it, benign, here it is, beneficial or tending to promote well-being, beneficial influence of good laws under a free government, the ever-favorite object of my heart and the happy reward, as I trust, of our mutual cares, labors, and dangers. I'm going to read from the outline again, E and F. He looks forward to retiring and enjoying good laws under a free government, and then his closing words. I'm going to read that paragraph again. Get ready to comment. Relying on its kindness in this as in other things, the arousal or activate by the fervent love towards it, which is so natural to a man who views in the native soil of himself and his progenitors or for ancestors for several generations, I anticipate with pleasing expectation that retreat in which I promise myself to realize without alloy the sweet enjoyment of partaking in the midst of my fellow citizens, the benign influence of good laws under a free government, the ever-favorite object of my heart, and the happy reward, as I trust, of our mutual cares, labors, and dangers. George Washington. I can't, when I look at this, here's a man that was put to be the general of the Continental Army by John Adams. On July 2nd, he met up with the army at Cambridge. He wins the war, says goodbye in 83, and then he's called up to the Constitutional Convention. Madison said, we can't even think about having a Constitutional Convention unless you're present. And it was said that he didn't want to come, but he showed up, and here he's the president of the convention. And then he is put in to be the first president. The father of our country, 45 years experience. I just can't wrap my head around. I have been labeled as being shallow. You could never label George Washington to be shallow. This man was deep, and he had a sincere faith in the Christian religion. A truly devout man. To put his feet up on his desk and to say these words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The floor is open.
Yes, this is John.
Go ahead, Mr. Speaker.
Just a real quick comment. I can't wait to meet this gentleman.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else?
This is Representative Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Now, this is a man that had the highest level of humility in his life as a servant, not only in the military but in government. And I think, you know, given his speech out there, he wouldn't be sitting on a chair with his feet up at his desk. I think he would have been standing on his feet and facing the people. And what that a yield.
I was just thinking about this, you know, after he gave the speech, that maybe he reclined, you know, with candlelight, you know, and he just sat back to reflect. That's where I was going with that. You know,
okay, well, that I can understand. That I can definitely understand that.
Well, that another thing, this guy, his mother, it said that his mother taught him how to pray at a very early age. This man was a tremendous prayer warrior, and it shows up. This path that he blazed, the journey that he took, that God put him on. I mean, this guy, here he fought in the French and Indian War, and here he ends up being, you know, the general of the Continental Army, and, you know, and then the president. I mean, 45 years, I'm just father of our country. I can't, what can you say? I mean, how about anybody else making a comment on this? Go ahead. The floor is open. Well, let me just say this. It was
Representative Mark Binder. May I have the floor?
Yes, go ahead. Yes, you have the floor.
Thanks. If you don't mind, I'd like to read from Andy Jackson's farewell address, what he talked about George Washington's farewell address, first two paragraphs.
Yeah.
This is in 1837, Andrew Jackson. He says, the necessity of watching with jealous anxiety for the preservation of the Union was earnestly pressed upon his fellow citizens by the father of his country in his farewell address. He has there told us that while experience shall not have demonstrated its impracticability, there will always be reason to distrust the patriotism of those who in any quarter may endeavor to weaken its bonds. and he has cautioned us in the strongest terms against the formation of parties on geographical discriminations as of the means which might disturb our union and to which designing men would be likely to resort. And then the second paragraph says, the lessons contained in this invaluable legacy of Washington to his countrymen should be cherished in the heart of every citizen to the latest generation. And perhaps at no period of time could they be more usefully remembered than at the present moment. For when we look upon the scenes that are passing around us and dwell upon the pages of his parting address, his paternal counsels would seem to be not merely the offspring of wisdom and foresight, but the voice of prophecy foretelling events and warning us of the evil to come. And that's all I have to add to that. I yield. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Representative Binder. Thank you. Anyone else? You know, here, I was just reminded of this before the call by the speaker, that this George Washington farewell address, we have been going through this now for 3 months. Amazing. And we took it apart. And it has been a real privilege to be part of this great address. And I hope that you got something out of this. I hope that, you know, you might even want to pick it up down the road to review what we went through. This man was just a great man. So if there's no other comments, any final comments? Okay, I yield to you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, David, for concluding President Washington's farewell address. Always been good, and of course, makes me think quite a bit. So hopefully it's making everybody in the House and Senate think as well as the gallery. So again, thank you for that. And with that, Senator Adams, does the Senate have any closing comments for tonight before we separate into our separate houses?
Senators, last chance for romance if you have any questions or comments, but the Senate admin is good at this point. Thank you, David.
Pleasure.
Well, I guess the Senate's ready to go home and deliberate on the off date for this summer. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
All right. Thank you, Senator Adams and the Senate. We will catch you next Tuesday to start back into more of David Barton's teachings as well with David Hertler as well, a couple Davids there. So we'll look forward to that and look forward to getting back with you next Tuesday. Enjoy your week.
Perfect. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Okay. Let's go ahead and jump into talking about the time off for the summer. Again, I'll go over the dates with you. The week of May 27th, the week of July 1st, and the week of September 2nd. The floor is open for any discussion about those weeks that we're going to take off.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
I support taking off those 3 weeks, and with that, I yield.
Thank you.
This is Representative Robin Cox. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
I also agree. I'm in favor of taking off the week of Memorial Day, the week of July 1st, and the week of Labor Day. I yield.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Mark Binder, may I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thanks. I concur with the other two representatives. I too don't see any reason why we should change that, and I yield. Thank you.
Okay.
Representative Reed from Nebraska, may I speak quickly?
Yes, you have the floor.
I also agree. Thank you. I yield.
Thank you. Anybody else? Well, I'll go ahead and look for closing comments about this discussion, if anybody has them, before we take a voice vote on these particular weeks off. All right, hearing no comments, we'll go ahead and take a voice vote to see if everybody agrees or disagrees with taking these particular weeks off. All in favor of taking the weeks off of May 27th, July 1st, and September 2nd, signify by saying aye.
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 And is there anybody opposed to taking these 3 weeks off? All right, the ayes have it. We'll go ahead and take those 3 particular weeks off this summer for the obvious holidays that fall within those weeks. So thank you, everybody, for your participation tonight. And any closing comments about the teaching that we had this evening?
So Representative Mark Feiner, may I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
I think it was a very invaluable lesson to learn, and I look forward to reviewing it on one of the weeks that we're off. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in there, and you could definitely tell George Washington was a man of God, and I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting a floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
And, you know, George Washington, in his farewell address, he foretold literally all the political party corruption and all the other government corruption that's going on right now in that address back in 1796. And with that, I yield the floor.
Yes, he definitely was a visionary, for sure. Anybody else?
Well, this is Representative Robin Cox. George Washington was definitely a man of God, and this confirmed it in my mind that he definitely was a man of God, and the teaching tonight was excellent, as it always is, and I thank you, David Hertler. I yield.
Thank you very much. All right, last chance for final comments. All right, hearing no more comments, I definitely if somebody wants to entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight and reconvene next Tuesday, I would definitely entertain that.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin making the motion to adjourn until Tuesday, April 3rd at 8 p.m. Central, without a yield.
This
All
is
right,
Representative Robin Cox. I second it.
All right. Thank you very much. We have a motion on the floor to adjourn until next Tuesday, and it's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 And are there anybody opposed? All right, it looks like the ayes have it. And it looks like the Senate has approved those 3 weeks off as well, so we'll go ahead and officially take those weeks off. So with that, does somebody want to close this in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful, Lord, that we have this, that you have given us the grace to restore this republic, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give our nation another chance. Praise you for your infinite mercy. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to remember and to meditate on the things that we learn in these legislative sessions. And Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every representative and their family, and over the speaker and his family, and over the Senate, every senator and their family, and the Senate admin and his family. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our president, President James Geiger, and President Timothy Turner, and all of our public leaders and their families. And we pray your angelic hedge of protection around all of these people and their families. And we pray that you would give us strength and safety, and Lord, bring us back safely to next week's legislative call. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Everybody have a good week, and we'll catch you next Tuesday.
Yep. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.